Welcome to the Death Doula Duo. I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
And I'm Sarah Kovash.
And this is where we explore the profound mysteries of life and all things death. Hello.
Hi.
We are here today with Tara McAmis, quantum energy practitioner of Elevated Energies. And today we get to talk about death from the perspective of energy and how our energy as a human transforms as we cross the threshold into what we call death and so everything that goes along with that.
So welcome, Tara.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tara, can you tell us what drew you to work with energy?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll try and keep it short though. I have always had a sense of things beyond the physical. Even as a child, I could feel other things. I knew other things. We call it being an empath today, but I am. And so I just had this long journey of trying to figure out what was I experiencing that it seemed like nobody else did. And that led me down a path of meditation that then helped me discover it was energy at a more quantum or a deeper level than the physical that I was experiencing. So,
yeah. And I hear that word quantum a lot these days. Mm-hmm. How would you describe that?
Sure. Yeah.
That's
very trendy.
A good question. I like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a trendy one today. For me, it is, let's just start with saying, I view a lot of science and spirituality as the same thing, two sides of the same coin. And so, but quantum energy is the smallest particle or package of electromagnetic energy that can be either emitted or received by an atom. And so from this perspective of working with people's quantum energy field, working at those levels of energy that go deeper than, or I think of the root or the core of our life force. You can think of it a little bit like we have the energy of our blood flowing through. But within our blood, there is a whole lot of chemical reactions happening. And then deeper from that is within the cells, there's even deeper. And then you go one more level in there and you've got your quantum energy flowing through it all.
So how do you know that the energy that you're experiencing is at a quantum level?
Aha. Well, I don't only work at the quantum level, but I use that to explain the depth that I can go to if need be. But I know that because I'm very visual. Like I said in the beginning, I've always experienced things beyond. And one of the way I experience energy is visually. I literally see it in the form of light streams, so particles and waves of light currency. And so when I get in there, I can literally go in a little deeper into the light and I just go as far as I need to.
This reminds me of something as well. Do you feel like maybe what you just described that you're seeing could be phosphenes that other people may not be able to see? Does that
and I don't know what phosphenes
relate?
Are.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. So have you ever rubbed your eyes and you see little lights and shapes and things kind of moving around? Mm-hmm. Those are phosphenes. And the reason I ask this is because I have a friend who introduced me to plant medicine. And one of the things that he has come up with as far as a theory of what might be happening when people take these plant medicines and see the things that they see is that maybe they're phosphenes that we're not usually able to see with our normal vision, you know, everyday vision, and that when you ingest or take in these plant medicines, that it allows you to maybe see those phosphenes that, like I said, you aren't usually able to see.
Yes, that's part of it. And I can see that when I kind of tune in and I have to focus my brain. And part of that has to do with the cerebral fluid moving through with your pineal gland and your all of that stuff. And we could go, we won't make this a biology lesson,
yeah.
But yeah, that is some of it. And when you're after training and practice, you can focus at that level because those are those light currents.
That's why you said that, and that's what made me think of it.
Exactly. In fact, I will admit some of my first deeper understandings or expanded understanding of this was with, we call them plant medicines now. We used to call it tripping, but hey.
Exactly. Fair enough. We can be honest here.
Back then, we were just tripping and we were silly college kids. But it did allow me to expand my consciousness to go, there is more and I'm not crazy. And then with very serious study, both intellectually and experientially with meditation, I've developed this skill. So
I love that. And I love that. There are so many ways we can go with this conversation, and it's all fascinating. But I would like to ask you, how does your work with quantum energy shape your concept of death?
Oh, yes.
Let's get down to it.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Get away from the phosphines.
We're going
into the death.
There you go. We're taking the phosphines into the death.
There you
How's
go.
That?
Yeah, I like that.
For sure. Death is, you know, I think it's an inadequate word, to be honest. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, the way it's shaped me is actually, I think I would flip that around for my experience. I never understood people's concept of death because it's not dying to me. It's not an ending to me as people talk about and a loss. And so I would say that's actually fueled me more to build on my energy work. And the understanding of quantum energy and how it flows, because that helped me understand, you know, it helped me explain what I was experiencing with death. It's not an ending. Yes, there's a human loss because there's a shift in the relationship, a shift in the change of our experience around us when someone's no longer physically in it. But it never, for me, felt like it was bad for them. People fear it, and I didn't understand because to me, it's more of a season that you are going through. So,
I was one of those people that feared, most of my life. So it's nice to not have that fear any longer.
It is, isn't it?
It really is.
It's very. It gives a deeper sense of peace in life without it.
Can I ask an off question? Do you feel like that helps you serve people that are in the grieving stage of loss?
Absolutely. I work a lot with folks that are grieving, many of my clients, whether they're in the current grieving phase or it's a past grief that hasn't left because it can get stuck in the body, kind of becomes stale at times. And being able to help them move through that by understanding the connection, the fluidity of energy flow. And energy doesn't die. It only transforms. That's the nature of it. It's impossible. So if it's always transforming, it allows them to not need to hang on to a past, but able to shift the relationship with that person into the present and even the future. Because they can recognize they're still there. They're just not here.
And so they can learn new ways of communicating with that loved one. Is that kind of what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can still communicate. You change I often just say you have to learn a new language. Learn a new communication style. And also, even if they don't feel that, if they're not there... And I should put in, dead people talk to me since I was a child. And I didn't know it wasn't normal until somebody said, she has an active imagination. Sure.
That's my imagination.
Are you sure about that? I was like, no, I'm not imagining those. But for folks who aren't there with that and comfortable with that, they can at least find that peace that their loved one is still enjoying life on a different plane or a different level or however you want to phrase that. And that's cool. I always say it's kind of like they went to Japan and they don't have cell service.
Right.
You know?
Well, and then you mentioned that people in grief and loss can have energy stuck. How does that affect a person's energy field? Mm-hmm.
Oh, in many ways. And I would say with that, it's not always just grief of a loved one dying. We grieve many things in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. But often we are, I think as a society and many societies around the world, we think of, we got to keep moving on, got to feel better. Mm-hmm. We always need to feel better. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know how to sit in our emotions, and we don't know how to sit in an icky one, you know, something
you know,
that's
they
unpleasant.
Only give 3 days
bereavement.
Bereavement, you know, I mean, how do you feel about that?
I would say I'm still in a day shock on day 4.
Okay? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's a great way to put it. So you have 3 days to go through all, honor that entire relationship. All the good, the bad of it, the things that didn't get closed. There's a grief is a honoring of that whole relationship. And when we have 3 days to do it, and then we got to get back to life. So you need to get back out there. You need to get back up there. Feel better, you know. Start focusing on the future.
You need to get over it.
Get over
Move
it.
Move on.
And, yeah. And those things are so, what happens energetically is that emotion gets stuck on us. And in a very physical energy sense, it gets put into our cells, in our hormones, our cortisol, all of those lovely stress hormones, and they're like stuck in there. And then also at a more ethereal field, it's just, we just don't know what to do with it. We stuff it down. And I literally will find people stuffing it down in their hip. All of a sudden they got this hip pain. They don't know what it is. Or they got this back pain or this neck pain. And I go, oh, that's the grief you didn't know what to do with. You didn't not only have the tools, but you weren't allowed.
Oh, I suddenly want to cry.
I got chills, definitely.
Why? And that's, whoa, sorry.
Oh, we've got some grief coming up, huh?
I think so.
We all usually do. And a lot of people say, oh, I can't believe that's still there. I've worked on it. But maybe you didn't have the opportunity. Maybe it was a death that was a shock. And, you know, they haven't been in hospice. We haven't been working through to that. All of a sudden, the whole world collided. Literally, I'll find it collided on them, smashed somewhere. And you feel like, and they're still stuck. And never been able to take a deep breath. We do the energy work and we pull that off. They literally breathe better and notice it right there.
That's awesome.
I think I need to make an appointment with you.
I would love to work with you anytime.
Yeah. And so I guess feeling the grief is a big part of that. And then I'm sure there's more to the process, but yeah. And like you just described, just the physical manifestation of feeling that relief.
Absolutely. And a lot of times too, it'll get stuck in our thought patterns, because if we start thinking things differently, we're holding something differently. So from an energy standpoint, when I go quantumly, go in and find those thought patterns that don't match with your higher self, with your natural energy flow. And we pull them out. We remove them out and we realign you to your healthy flow, your energy flow, so that you can finish either processing the emotions maybe you need to, or maybe you really are ready to go on. You just didn't know you needed to get rid of it. You didn't even remember it was still sitting there.
Yeah.
So,
do you work with people who are in the death transition?
I do.
So how does their energy field change as they approach death?
It's such a beautiful thing. It's almost hard to describe. Usually when they come in the beginning, either they found a diagnosis that, you know, is inoperable or it's terminal in some way. So there's fear. There's disconcerting. There's just a confusion about it, or a shock, you know, that feeling. And so we shift that to start with. And okay, you're here now, and help them be in the present moment with that experience, so that they can function. They can do the things they need to do. They can make the arrangements with kind of a level acceptance of it all. Then as they move further through the stage, I find their energy starts shifting. When I'm working together, we help And naturally, this happens if a person has the space and the support to do so, even at an unconscious level, they start connecting deeper with their own life force, with what I call the higher self, soul, spirit. And that's that peace they'll start finding. So I help them kind of come into that stronger and just more, I say, efficiently. That sounds funny, but it is. It's a natural alignment for them. And then you'll start to see as they're beginning to be ready to go, they start separating from the physical a little bit more. I'll find their energy up kind of more above their head and less down in the root chakra or down in their, you know, digestive or hips or lower parts. They start moving up because they're starting to transition. And there's a piece, but as they're transitioning, it's not as much they're leaving the physical, but they're also moving into the higher realms. And that is just a beautiful thing when they start to feel their angels around them more, or their ancestors, mm-hmm. or their loved ones. That's a neat experience, and it gives them that perspective that we often see at the end of death, where people start seeing things differently, more openly. Oh, that doesn't matter. They always talk about, you know, what you regret or what you don't, and you start to shift all of those priorities. So beautiful to see it energetically because it's just a wider, brighter, lighter light.
I love that. I love how you describe that because that's an experience with a family like that was one that drew me into being a death doula, of seeing somebody start to see things in another realm and talk about that, and the family not understanding what was going on and being able to explain to them a little bit about what was happening. Not seeing it on an energetic level, but just having that knowing of what was happening and that's the direction we're heading.
So beautiful. And that's why you guys as doulas are so important, because you get to hold space for the folks that are transitioning, and then also hopefully help the family accept and allow that space and allow them that opportunity to shift out of feeling better, and everybody needs to feel better, as we were talking about. But let's all just be okay with this sacred moment. Maybe not a happy moment, but it's a blessed sacred.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, that you mentioned our work as death doulas. Is it something you feel like you could do in addition to what we do as death doulas, as far as holding space? And do you feel like what you're able to do can be taught?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. And I've been working for years on classes on how to do it.
That's awesome.
You know, it's still over on the to-do list.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other topic. But yes, I do believe we can. In fact, people often say, oh, what a gift you have. And I say, this is not a gift. It is a skill. And it is something that anyone who feels called to apply the time, because it does take practice, like all skills do, and the open mind to do so, can learn to do it without a doubt. And I think it's something even, you know, there's different levels. Obviously, not everybody wants to dedicate their whole life to the quantum field like I have. It's cool, but you know, but as a death doula and working with the family, I think there could be great little techniques to share and just, you know, work with, kind of complement. It would definitely complement your work.
I love hearing that yeah. It's a skill to develop. That is,
I like that answer.
Yeah. And so how has this work changed and what do you feel about what you think about the afterlife?
Oh, that's such a great question. It's beautiful and it's really, really cool in my opinion. And I like to think it, in fact, I often say it's just the next life more than afterlife. And like I said in the beginning, I see death as a season, and it's like the winter season where we go in and we reflect, you know, we kind of hibernate and slow down before we were reborn, because I see reincarnation a lot. And this is just our current incarnation here in the physical. We're at this table recording today, but we've had thousands of incarnations before. And in between each of those incarnations, which would be like the spring and the summer and the fall, we have winter. And winter is where we settle in, and I call it the golden light. People often say they see the light and they go to the light. It's very true. And it's a channel that we go up from our heads. I leave our bodies and I see that flow up, and our angels do come and they do say, this way, this way. So we don't get lost out in the ethers. And we go up and we meet with them, and we get respite from this hard, dense physical life. We're here, we're plugging away. It's like we're, you know, we're in college and we're working and we're working. We finally graduate. We get that, like, the year off, right? Mm-hmm. What do they call it? The in-between? The gap year, yeah. Yes. It's our gap year.
Over why my kid might need to have a gap year.
We all need a gap year on occasion.
Yes.
I wish I could do it in the middle of my adulthood once in a while.
Yes, you know? Same. I'm really, really wishing I had a gap year.
I know, yes.
So don't tempt me too much with this beautiful afterlife.
Right.
Or other life.
Other life.
Next life.
It's the next life. So then once we're done, we come back. You know, we go up and we review this life and our lessons, and we acclimate our soul to this next level, and then we choose some parents and come back in. And so I think it's a beautiful thing. It's exciting to me.
I've always wondered, with the idea of reincarnation in mind, that my grandparents or people in the past, are they still in the afterlife, or have they reincarnated? And, you know, sometimes they might seem more accessible, or, you know, some might seem more accessible than others as far as communicating with. And
yeah, no, I think it's a wonderful thing. People often ask me this. I get this question a lot from clients, and especially if they've just lost someone, or they've lost someone for a long time, they've been gone a while from, and they're like, I haven't felt them yet. What's wrong? Where are they? And so we'll look and get some answers so that they can find peace. And sometimes people get a little stuck in between, and we got to help them move on up. And, you know, we've all had those experiences too. I mean, if we've had 1,000 lives, you know, not every transition's gone smoothly. You know?
Right.
Probability, right? But, you know, sometimes we stay in the golden light longer. Sometimes we need some more time off, or we stay to be somebody else's angel. You know, maybe your grandmother decided to stay so she could be your guardian for a little while. She's waiting to help somebody else transition. Or maybe she did already come back and she's your niece. But it varies. It really varies on where we're at in our own soul growth, is what I've found. So, yeah.
So how can energy work assist individuals facing mortality before, during, and after? And I know you spoke a little bit about grief and then what you see. How do you help people in that transition?
Yeah. So I help them really connect with what I call their higher self channel. And it's from a physical standpoint, it runs through our spine, from above our head to through our pineal, down our spine into the coccyx. And which is also our spinal fluid and all that electrical parts of the nervous system. So, but it, I help them reconnect there. And I find a lot when people are first transitioning, the fear around it, the fear of not understanding it. And also, much of our society today doesn't teach us to connect within. We're supposed to figure out who we are by our external situations and circumstances. Yeah. And, you know, if we sit and be quiet and feel ourselves, we're lazy. And so a lot of people have just gone and done. And so they get to that point, or they're shocked that they're at that point. We're not expecting it. They don't feel connected to themselves. And that's a lot of sometimes that fear and that worry. So I help them connect there, first of all. We breathe into that and we feel that energetic connection. And then I help them let that come out through their system so that they can feel their own spirit again, their own truth. And that is the truth that connects us to that light and to this eternal quantum energy flow. And that in and of itself brings great peace. People, oh, okay. I'm not worried to die. I'm not really dying. I'm just turning into my channel again, you know? That, and then I work a lot with just helping mitigate physical pain as they're walking through it, because a lot of the clients I see don't want the heavy medication if they can avoid it. Now, sometimes we need morphine to trans. I mean, that's so I help with that so that they don't need as much of that medication and they're not chemically forced to disconnect. They're able to stay consciously connected in the process.
Oh, wow. I love that. That is awesome. So, because we know that hearing is the last to go, at least mm-hmm. that, or at least that people can hear even when they're not able to speak. And so helping them to be able to be conscious during that time, to be even energetically with their loved ones, as well as actually transitioning, is a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. What a cool thing to experience your own death. I mean,
yeah,
at a soul level, that's pretty cool.
So do you feel like if people have morphine that, I mean, it changes that or anything?
That's a good question. Because I'm a little conflicted right now.
Yeah, it can.
Because I don't have qualms with it if it's needed. But
oh no, not at all. And it's usually at some point they do because the physical body is already closing down. Right, it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, and that pain can be very distracting and uncomfortable, obviously. So yeah, no, the morphine's not bad, but if you're connected in. And you feel that conscious connection, you can accept and allow that chemical process to relax the body and to numb the pain without it throwing you into a kind of almost of anxiety, an internal anxiety or fear.
And just seeing how some people really, their body hangs on for a long time, even when they are actively transitioning. And it could be for family members that are struggling or any number of things.
Yeah. A lot of times they need to stay. They may be ready, but they love their loved ones and they're, you know, they want everyone to have a peaceful transition with them, you know, so everyone can honor that process. So yeah, sometimes they need to stay, hang out for a while, or maybe there's a lot of different reasons, but sometimes there's some past life things that we need to clear up. And one of those is experiencing the transition at a slower rate and more consciously. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
I have a question.
Sure.
Yeah. If you could choose any historical figure to have a conversation with about death, who would it be and why?
This is a funny question for me. Well, let's see. I don't quite know how to answer it because, and this may sound really out there, but in full disclosure, I've talked to a lot of them. So,
well, then who was your favorite conversation with?
Yes. Gosh, let's see. I have to kind of think of who and what, how.
I caught you off guard.
No, it's a great question. So I'm a big philosophy nerd. That's where a lot of this stuff comes from also. But I was really big with Descartes. And he has this whole idea of the, you know, if you change every plank in on a ship, is it still the same ship, right? And I struggled with this sucker forever. Because if we think about our physical bodies, not one single cell in it is the same that we had, right? So am I I am the same. So this whole existential, I'm going to existential crisis weekly, I think.
Join the crowd.
You get it. I got to talk myself back off the cliff. But so I tried to contact and ask him, and I did not get an answer from him.
Oh, darn.
One that I work with a lot is Plato and Socrates, both. I love the ancients. And so that is, you know, talk me through the questions. And yes, we are the same because the quantum energy flowing through all the cell changes are the same. So that was
your answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I finally answered that one. So now I have all new existential crises to go through. But.
Is there anything else that you want to cover, Tara, that we didn't talk about?
I'm so delighted you guys are doing this. And I want to say that it's a huge shout out to this going to the Death Cafe was a huge game changer for me in just lifting my spirits that there is such hope in embracing the death side of the life cycle as much as the life cycle. Well, and so I want to tell you all, thank you for all that you are doing.
Thank you. Yeah. It is beautiful to get to see people come together and experience each other and listen. And
I'm amazed, honestly. I mean, when I started 4 years ago, there was no one. I tried to get a death cafe started and it just, it was like pulling teeth. So the way this has all panned out, like it has, seems, again, I know I say this a lot, like it's just divine timing and
yeah.
Like it was just meant to be. So we're really glad you joined us today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I've been excited and it's been a great pleasure. So thank you.
Truly, I'm honored. Thank you, guys.
So Tara, tell us how we can contact you or how people can contact you if they would like the service.
Oh, absolutely. My website is the best way. You can get more information about what I do and all that good stuff and schedule sessions if you want, is elevatedenergies.biz. And if there's any questions or just curious about any of this, you can always email me at Tara, T-E-R-A, at elevatedenergies.biz.
Awesome. And yeah, I looked on your website before today and it was great. It had some resources that meditation that I did and it was awesome. So
good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll stay tuned for the next episode where we explore more of the profundities of death. Is that right? All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you for joining us as we journey through life's most enigmatic reality. I'm Jennifer O'Neill.
And I'm Sarah Kovash.
And we are
the Death Doula Duo.
The Death Doula Duo is brought to you by the Possibilities Podcast Platform.
If you have comments, suggestions, or would like to be on the show, please email us at thedeathdouladuo@gmail.com. Until next time, may all your discussions about death be lively.